What is up, beautiful people, fantastic people all over the land, Packer fans. I think that's probably pretty much it. No one else is listening to this thing. Nobody else is watching this thing. But here we go. We are having a good time. And I am here with my guy, Mr. Ryan Schlipp. All right, if I could find the overlays here. Dude, I'm screwing up. I'm screwed up, Ryan. I had to find this thing. All right, here we go. Big shout out to everyone who's tuning in, whether you're listening on a podcast, whether you're watching on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch. No one's watching on Twitch, let's be real. But I appreciate you tuning in. We got Ryan from the Packernet podcast. And before we get into this thing, let me turn the music off over here. I want to give a big shout to Quick Trip, the Matt Ramage show presented by Quick Trip. You know what I mean? And they got the take-home meals. They got all the good stuff over there. So go ahead and get you some macaroni and cheese. Get yourself some garlic breadsticks. Get yourself spaghetti. They got all types of good selections over there at the take-home meal. And I just want to say shout out to Quick Trip. They are the ultimate best gas station in all of the land. But now we bring in, to me, the greatest podcaster maybe of all time. You know what I mean? Mr. Ryan Schlipp from the Packernet podcast. If you're not subscribed to him on YouTube, anywhere you listen to podcasts, like anywhere, like everywhere. If there's a place you listen to podcasts, you're going to hear some Packernet people talking on it. But what's up, Ryan? How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I'm glad I happened to check my phone like 10 minutes before we were going to go live and like, oh, crap, that's right. Because that's how that goes. That's how you know if I'm actually going to show up or not, if I happen to look at my phone right before we're going live. So,
dude, I texted you like 12 times. Well, I texted him just like random stuff throughout because I've been drinking. You know what I mean? Like, it's Wednesday.
Well, I was upstairs watching stupid nonsense on YouTube, and my wife comes in. She's like, why haven't you been answering my phone calls? Like, I don't know. I don't know where my phone is. So, fortunately, I found it right before we were going live.
That's good because I was texting you. I actually text you like a script too. I never do. I'm like, oh, this is the things that we're going to talk about, you know?
Did you?
But yeah, I did. Not really a script, but like just topics.
See what
like,
we're doing.
Which I never do. I've never done that probably ever, but I was kind of excited about this show. We got a lot to talk about. But before we get into this, you know, we're going to talk about a lot of stuff going on in Green Bay land, a lot of Packernut, Packer World stuff.
Packernuts.
But Well, I want to give a shout out to NicolayLaw.com. You know, Nicolay Law actually got a chance to talk to Mr. Russell Nicolay this week. Actually, I'm going to have my podcast because, you know, he's a lawyer. You know, everyone says, like, yeah, lawyers are boring. But he's got a Wisconsin tattoo on his forearm. Like, he's from Wisconsin. I actually talked to him, and he's actually went to Bayport High School in Green Bay. I went to Green Bay East High School. We probably have been at parties together. We might have shotgun beers together as toddlers. I don't know, but... But he's awesome, and they're award-winning lawyers, so it's not just like, you know, I'm not going to hire some weird Wisconsin drunk guy to be my lawyer, but he's actually an award-winning lawyer. So be sure to check out NicolayLaw.com. Be sure to check out Nicolay Law. You see the billboard. You see the thing. He's Wisconsin as it gets. But anyways, we're going to talk about some Green Bay Packers football today.
What kind of awards do lawyers get?
I don't know, but they're award-winning. I didn't dig real deep on that. But I know that there are awards, you know.
There must be, yeah. Some
there's really gotta be. Like you win
win
enough cases, you get an award. I don't know if it's like the Oscars, like just holding it up. You know what I mean? I don't know how it works. I'm gonna lose the sponsor this right away, right out the gate.
Will Smith is handing out awards and smacking.
Yeah. Did anyone get slapped at these award shows? That's what I want to know because but it's Wisconsin. People don't get slapped in Wisconsin too often, you know what I mean? Depends where you are. But we're gonna talk about the Packers Niners game. I know you probably already talked this to death because you're a professional podcaster, but I had to take a few days off, dude. I was sad. Dude, I actually want to show you this picture. I want to show you this picture because I obviously live streamed like during the game, and this was my reaction.
Dude, I guarantee that's what I looked like. I've told people I was dead silent for probably 30 seconds on my live stream after that pick was thrown.
Yeah, like I was dead silent because last night I went back and watched not the whole live stream, but like the last little bit of it to see, like, cause I was like, oh, maybe I can clip it. It's too late, you know, cause already Tuesday or whatever. Yeah, but I was like, it's too late, but like, let me go back. And then I was like all right, so Jordan Love's whatever first down, whatever. And then all of a sudden the pick happened, and I just didn't talk.
I did the exact same thing. I just sat there for like 30 seconds. I just forgot I was doing a stream and just went into a deep pit of depression.
Because that's what it is, right? Like when you when you're like doing like a live stream or even like just watching a game in general, it's like you either have two emotions. Like one is anger where you get up and just like throw stuff. But I have a lot of expensive stuff over here. I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna get crazy. But or else you just get quiet. And like I got quiet. Like my kids used to always tell me this is like I always stand for the games, right? I stand up, like I stand to the side. And then they'd always say, as soon as I sit down, it's like me like non-verbally saying, I give up. This game's over. It's kind of the same thing. So it was kind of the same thing. Like when I was just like, it's funny because like the live stream, like the comments must have been like, what happened? I mean, I'm sure that they're watching like during the season. A lot of people don't have the game, but like everyone was probably watching because it's on regular TV, you know, it's playoffs. But it was like,
you got paid to do this stream?
I got paid.
Yeah, dude. Someone up in the
let me check this out because I didn't have the comment. What's up, Dang? How we doing? We got $1.99. I always get excited when I get we can finally enjoy third downs now. Yes. And we're gonna talk about that. We're gonna definitely gonna talk about Joe Barry was released of his duties. What is up, Dang? How you doing? I appreciate the what do they call those? A super chat? Yeah, super chat. There you go. I appreciate it. I don't get many of those, so I'm pretty excited about that. But I appreciate everyone chiming in the comments over here. We're I want to talk about this this Niners loss. First of all, I want to say this. I'll be honest, I hate the term house money. Everyone was saying like the Packers playing house money doesn't matter. Like it mattered. It mattered to me a great deal. And I know it mattered to every Packer. I'm not trying to be like, I'm an elite, whatever. But like, I felt like this team was good enough this year. Right. Like, obviously, like early on, that's kind of how it felt. Like, every week, I was like, just win this week. Just we can get in the playoffs, get these guys some experience. And that's all I want. But then they beat up the Cowboys. And I was like, all right, now I'm getting greedy. All right, now we can beat the Niners. But I really felt like they were good enough. I was like, this defense is playing better. Jordan Love is playing. You know, Aaron Jones is a 100-yard rusher. I think it was 5 weeks in a row calling that Niners game. Like, this team was playing good enough. These receivers were catching balls. So, like, I felt like they should have won that game.
Right.
And I felt like if they did, they could have beat the Lions. Like, I don't know what would happen in the Super Bowl. Oh, yeah. I think it's going to be the Ravens. I think the Ravens are a really good team. So, like, I'm not going to be all cocky and be like, they'd have won the whole thing. But, like, I felt like this team was good enough to be there. So I don't believe house money that like it doesn't matter. But like I'm also not like gonna drill everyone and be like, oh, this you screwed it up, you choked. I'm not gonna go out lose my mind. But I feel like this team is good enough, and I know the players feel like too. The players, nobody in that locker room was talking about house money.
Right.
I guarantee Matt LaFleur's like, we're playing at house money, boys.
Gives a crap, bro. Yeah, just go have fun, guys.
Have a good time. You know what I mean, this team was definitely good enough. I don't like the house money term. I get it. I'm not like bashing anyone who says it, but like I felt like this team was good enough to win. Dent wasn't meant to be. A lot of mistakes were made. I don't want to get too in depth with this game, but like, what's your thoughts over here on losing to the Niners and like just depression?
Yeah, that big switch came for me after Dallas. Like I was all about the house money thing at first, and then after Dallas, it was like, all right, you know what? Forget the house money thing. We're not talking about that anymore. Like, this team is good enough to win. The way Jordan's playing, the way the offense is playing, even the way the defense kind of has been showing up a little bit here and there. It's like, you know, you not just, well, let's stop talking about it because you can, but because you have to. Like, you know, Super Bowls are such a fleeting thing. I mean, we think about it like, oh, we're going to have so many opportunities. Oh, that's awkward. We're going to have so many opportunities now. Because we're this young team, it's like, well, Jordan's 25. If he plays until he's 35, that's 10 years. You think you're guaranteed to win a Super Bowl in 10 tries? And what about injuries and all these other things? Like, when you have an opportunity and when you're playing as well as you're playing, even, you know, we always assume everybody's going to get better just because it's his first year. I don't know if I've seen quarterbacks really play that well And there's no guarantee he's going to be that hot down the stretch ever again. So, yeah, I mean, it's an obligation. You have to go in as hard as you possibly can to try to win every time you get the opportunity, because these things are so fleeting. And who knows how many more, you know, swings at this thing, legitimate swings we're going to have. So, you know, as much as I get it, where it's like we didn't expect it, so it's all good. It's also at the same time, these are very rare opportunities and you got to capitalize when you got it. And it does suck more because, like you said, we were the better team. We should have won that game. And it's very likely we're going to beat Detroit the next week. So it's pretty frustrating that when the Packers are that hot, and basically had a path directly into the Super Bowl because the 49ers shot themselves in the foot and Dallas played like crap. And the Lions are just honestly not as good as the Packers. It's a little bit frustrating, but at the same time, we're here now. It's a good football team, and they should hopefully have some opportunities to be able to hoist a trophy over the next couple of years.
I definitely agree with all that. Let's get to a comment here. Mr. Dag, $9.99, bro. Paid for my beer, I think, today.
Dag, subscribe to my YouTube, man.
He says, the part that hurts, we were in the game. We were leading in the fourth. It would have been a different story if we got blown out, but we were leading. That's what hurt. Dude, I absolutely agree with that, dude. Like, that's why, like, on my live stream, I was trying to control myself because I was celebrating. I mean, not like we won the game, it's over. Like, but I was like, I was hype, and I was like,
dude, we got this. Game. We got just hang on for like 3 minutes, and we're seriously like, we're probably going to the Super Bowl if you can hang on just for a few more minutes. And I agree, like, that's what hurts the most. But at the same time, it's also a good thing because I got so tired of being the most dominant regular season team and then just being complete. Like, the 49ers are just so much better than us in the past. Like, we cannot move the football. We can't do anything. That wasn't the case. They're not better than us. So going into 2024, as much as that particular instance sucks, who's better than the Packers? Not the 49ers. They weren't in that game. It's not the Lions or the Bears or the Vikings. It's not Dallas. It's not, I mean, who in the NFC, who's better? I don't know.
Nobody.
I would say probably nobody, especially when you look at how young and how much everybody's going to be growing. So, yes, that does make it sting more. But at the same time, if we had gotten blown out, I'd be sitting there going, no matter how good we are, we're going to face San Francisco. We're going to get the crap beat out of us. I'm not thinking that this year. I'm thinking San Francisco got lucky. We see them again. We're going to beat the living crap out of them.
You know what I'm saying, bro? Yep. That's
send
exactly
that to Kittle, will you?
Yeah, dude. We're going to talk about that next. But
get him on the phone.
Big shout to Dag. I really do appreciate it. I appreciate everyone who, you know, throws that money down. You know what I mean? Supports me, whether it's even a comment, whatever. But the money is also pretty good. It's always gets me excited. But, like, yeah, dude, that was the thing is, like, I do believe, like, I don't even know how it happened, like, that switch. But the Packers were the best team in the NFC in that game. And, like, but, like, you win or you lose. So I'm not going to make excuses. I'm not going to cry about it. Like, you win or you lose. And they lost.
Right.
So I'm not going to be, like, getting all, like, you know, whatever. Like, we got screwed and, like, it, whatever. No. Like, they won. And they're the experienced team. Young team made some mistakes. Darnell Savage, you know, dropped the interception. I think that changes the game. Obviously, Jordan Love. You know, I've been hyping up Jordan Love all season. People are like, you got to let Jordan Love know that he – made a mistake. I'm like, yo, I'll text him. Like, I got him on my contacts. Like, look, because, you know, I haven't hyped him up. He made a mistake. He threw it across his body. Cardinal sin, the actual word he used in his post-game. I don't know if it was an interview or if it was a press conference, whatever it was. But, yeah, the cardinal sin, throw it across your body, rarely works. Rarely. It's not good. The Packers lost that game. Dude, I am so hopeful. I'm so hyped about this team. Everyone's talking about it. Except for the few haters that are still, you know, they're fighting, dude. They're fighting to hang in there. You know what I mean? These haters who are like, you know, Packer haters, like, I don't know the Packers, like Packer fans, you know, the realists, they're still out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're trying to hold on to that thing. But Jordan Love is, you know, we're going to talk about later on. He's going to get paid. This team is good. They lost. That's just what it is. It's saddening. But anyways, we're going to move on from this thing because everyone's talked about it to death. I didn't really talk about it. It hurt for a couple of days. Like, I feel like it shouldn't have hurt as much as it did. Cause then a lot of people are like, you host money. Like, yeah, it's fine. But like, I was devastated. I wouldn't say devastated, but it wasn't like top five like hurt, but I was like, man, they had an opportunity.
It really started to feel real. Like this might actually happen. Yeah. And as soon as that switched on, you watched a heartbreaking loss, and it's like, come on, man, should have just lost to Dallas, you know? Because I didn't believe then.
Yeah, and to just think that, let me get my close up right here. Just think about it, like if Jordan Love could have won or like went to the Super Bowl, because I think winning the Super Bowl would have been very difficult, because I think it's gonna be the Ravens, could be the Chiefs, whatever. But it would have been very difficult. So I'm not gonna be like they would have won the Super Bowl guaranteed, but like they could have went to the Super Bowl. I think that would be the Lions. But in Jordan Love's first season as a starter, if they did that, bro, that'd have been ridiculous. That'd have been stupid. I would have like talked about that for 15 years. Like, I don't know if I'll be alive for that long, but I would have talked about it till the end of my life. You know what I mean? But
at least seven.
But anyways, I know everyone wants to talk about Joe Barry. He's out at a defensive coordinator, but we will talk about that coming up over here. But we got some more stuff to talk about. I had to put that disclaimer because I know everyone wants to talk about that. We're gonna get into that. You know what I mean? But so. George Kittle on the Pat McAfee show, you kind of talked about a little bit. Or he said, go Pat, go the F home. He didn't say F. He said a real word, but we got sponsored over here. You know what I mean? He said, go Pat, go the F home. And, dude, I will tell you, I thought it was great because I love trash talk. I do. And then, like, if you – like, we like Aaron Rodgers yelled about owning the Bears. I own you. I own you. And like, what did I do? I made a video outside Lambeau Field after the Packers beat up on the Bears. Like 10 in a row, baby, 10 in a row. Like, that's what we do. We talk trash because we own the Bears. We absolutely own them. And the Vikings, we trash them. Lions, we don't really trash them because they're like the little brother that never gets invited anywhere. You know what I mean? You got to be nice to him. Pat him on the head a little. Hey there, buddy. You know what I mean? But now they're in the NFC Championship game, so we'll kind of light up on that. Because they always tell me, they're in my comments all the time, like, oh, we're in the NFC Championship game, where are you? But I was like, I don't know where you are in my comments, buddy. But but I love the trash talk, and like, they beat us. I don't know if George Kittle has ever lost to the Packers, but it's five in a row in the playoffs. The Niners have beat us. And George Kittle is a Bears fan. Like, he said that he's like, he rooted for the Bears growing up. So like, I expect him to talk trash. People don't have to like it. I didn't like it particularly. Like, I was like, that kind of stinks a little bit, whatever. But like, I kind of respect the trash talk. If the Packers would have won and like Preston Smith yelled something like, you know, the hell with San Francisco or something odd, whatever, something probably more clever than that. But I would have loved it. So I'm not going to get all like up in my feelings about it. That's what it is. You win or you lose, and if you win, you get to talk trash. So what do you think about that, Mr. Ryan?
Well, don't miss your two new super chats, but we got the 10 and the $4.99 there. Just killing it.
I've never been worth it to talk to you, but now it's kind of worth it.
I just bring the money with me. No, I mean, there's two sides of it. He has every right to talk trash. That's what he should do. That's what I would expect the Packers to do. But at the same time, as a Packer fan, I freaking hate it. And as soon as I heard it, it made my blood boil. It's partially because it was so good. You know what I mean? Like, it's so good. It really stings, you know? It's like, oh, you son of a... So it just, you know, I understand being angry at him because that's what you're supposed to do as a fan, right? You talk trash and then you get pissed at the trash talk and you hope that they fail and that their house is burned down. I mean, with nobody inside, obviously. I hope everybody's safe and everything. I just don't want their house to exist anymore. But I genuinely don't. I'm not a big fan of him anymore. Not that I ever really was, because I've always hated the 49ers, and that just adds fuel to the fire, which again is a good thing. But I hate the 49ers with a passion. Probably more than just about any team in the NFL, and losing to him again made it worse. And then Kittle's comments made it worse. So, I loathe that freaking team, but, it makes it more exciting when the Packers do play the 49ers, and it'll just make it that much more sweet when the Packers beat them. But yeah, I expect fans to be up there with their go the F home, signs and everything else, just talking all kinds of trash. That's what you do. That's what you're supposed to do. But, it definitely, it worked on me.
Yeah.
It pissed me off pretty good.
when I first saw it, I was like, this freaking god. Like, I was mad, but then after I thought about it, I was like, yo, I talk a lot of trash, so like, yeah, I get it. Like, and I almost respect it. And I actually don't like, I don't hate George Kittle. I think he seems like a fun guy. He seems like,
I'm sure he's whatever. A good dude. Yeah, I don't,
yeah, but yeah, but guys seem fun. But then when they trash your team, but anyways,
it's two different things. I mean, there's it's same with like Justin Fields. Like, I talk so much trash about that guy, but it's like that's like a football fan. Like, there, he's a Bears, yeah, guy. Separate. It's different. Like, as a person, he's probably a great dude, and I hope he has great success and makes a ton of money and has a great life. I don't care. Like, this is not. There's a very fine line for me, and I like, this is a game. And we're all just playing a game, and I'm screwing around. We're all screwing around. Like, I hate you, and you hate me, and F these guys. And then there's real life where it's like, hey, what's up, dude? Like, I don't freaking care. Like, what am I going to do? See a Bears fan and go, like, start getting into a fist fight with them or something? Like, this is. And I think some people genuinely do kind of, like, not understand that line, and they get kind of crazy. Like, people that send death threats and actually do get into fist fights and everything else. Those people are a little, they got a screw loose. But yeah, I mean, that's how, like, George Kittle's probably a great dude. Whatever, but in this realm, I freaking hate them. I hate the 49ers, and I hate everything about all of them, every single one of them. I think they're all garbage, and I can't wait to beat them next year.
Yeah, I do. I hate the 49ers. They're such a pain. 49er fans, they've been trolling me. They're not really good at trolling. They just post the same meme over and over again. The record. And like, I'm like, get creative, dude. Like, you're in every comment. But anyways, I want to get to the super chat. Shout out to Dag, you know, $9.99. He said, oh, no, I think that
you got that one.
Yeah, I got that one. All right, so we're going to go down here. No, this is Steve. Yep. All right, here we go. Steve, what's up, Steve? I appreciate $10. He up Dag by a penny. So, Dag, yep, you're in second place now. Here we go. Oh. Hi, Matt. Hi, Ryan. Did you guys see the Packers are their early favorites to win Super Bowl 59 next year? I think it's premature, but glad we're getting respect by Ryan. A beer, Matt. I'm not going to buy Ryan. I appreciate you, Steve. You are the absolute man. Yeah, I talked about that earlier about I have that a banner for that for later, but the days of being like the underdog is over. Everyone's going to pick the Packers. Same thing with the Lions last year when they finished strong. Everyone was talking about the Lions are going to do it during the NFC Championship game this year. It's a little bit different because I made a comment about them. Like, it's not the same thing. Packers are young, but they're the team everyone's looking at. So, like, everyone who – like, Matt LaFleur talked about it. He said, next year when we come back, it's not going to be youth. They're not going to have excuses. They're not going to be like, all right, they're a young team. It doesn't matter. Even if they are the youngest team in the NFL, they still might be next year. That's not an excuse. This team will have expectations next season, and they will – be expected, this offense will be expected to play great. That this defense, we're going to find out who's going to be the coordinator for the defense and like what's going to happen there. But like, this team will be expected to play and play very, very good. Yeah. There's not going to be this underdog mentality. No one's going to be underdog in the Packers next season.
Right. Yeah, I actually hadn't looked at that, but it looks like it's in the NFC, the 49ers, then Detroit, and then Green Bay and Dallas are tied. So, and again, that's what I was talking about in terms of like, they're in that realm of top dogs, you know? I mean, obviously they did beat Dallas, and I thought they were the better team against San Francisco, but it's no longer like, oh, are the Packers going to be fourth and they might be the worst team and they probably have the worst quarterback and they have the worst wide receivers. Like, that's what the conversation was going into last year. So this is a completely different animal where, you know, the Packers are one of the premier NFC teams.
Oh yeah, most definitely. So we're gonna get this one right here. Dag is back in. First of all, I was wrong.
Yes, sir.
Like, you didn't lose the spot because you've been noted a lot. He's like, what am I doing here?
He but just anyways, took the lead.
We got Dag. He says the big question is, what do we do with our cornerback one, Preston Smith? Do we keep them or do we look to the future? No. First of all, if you're talking about we can talk about both because cornerback one is Jair Alexander. Actually, we're going to talk about that in a minute. I have a whole banner for that. I don't want to waste all these banners. You know what I mean? But talk about Preston Smith. Like, I saw people on Twitter saying, what do we do with Preston Smith? What do? We keep him. We play him. Preston Smith is an absolute animal. He secures that edge. I absolutely love Preston Smith. I think he's absolute baller. but don't play him at cornerback.
Well, like, yeah, we can maybe change his role to something.
Yeah, like maybe have him rush the have him rush the quarterback. That would be me. Well,
you know, yeah, something like that. He could maybe try safety or something, like change things up a little bit. Just, I don't know about press man. If you want him in coverage, fine. But, you know, I just don't know about man cover corner.
Yeah, and Jair Alexander, I don't think that – I have a whole banner for that. All right, we can ruin the banner, all right?
Just throw it up, man. He paid $5 for a special banner.
All right. No, I got you a banner, all right? Let me find his banner. But Jair Alexander, he made this post, right? He got Packer fans all riled up.
Yes.
All right. He said, actually, I actually have the picture over here. Let me throw this up here. Jair Alexander said, "Thank you, God. Thank you, Lambo, for 6 years. Thank you to those who showed love throughout my journey." So I don't. A lot of people took that as, like, I'm done, and I'm not playing in Green Bay no more. Yeah. I don't know. I think he was kind of trolling because at the end that last pitcher, he kind of like did like a thing. I don't know if that meant anything at all. I don't know if he actually was trying to. Something that I think players like, even like Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, back when they did that that Instagram thing, they actually admitted it after. They're like, "This is gonna be so good."
Yeah, right, right.
You know what I mean? Like, sometimes I think that players know the media is gonna blow everything up. Guys like me and you were gonna talk about it on Trashy Podcast.
Yeah,
and they're just like, "Let's see what happens." But before I get your take on that, like, that's very small. I can't read that. But
so she's.
But these are the numbers. All right, I'm gonna take that off because no one can read that. It's very small. I should have enlarged it. But the cap hit for the Packers to move on from Jair are stupid. Like, even if they traded him,
$27 million, I think.
Yeah, they're not gonna cut him, first of all. But even if they trade him, like, it would be stupid. So I think Jair Alexander is gonna be a Packer unless he had an absolute fit, freaked out, like demanded things and like I want out. But I don't think he's gonna do that. You know, he's doing all this the pack is back thing. I feel like he loves Green Bay. I don't know how he felt about Joe Barry. People are saying like, well, he didn't like him. It seems like a lot of the players like him, at least in public. You don't know how they feel around, you know, closet, you know, behind closed doors. They're not going to come out the media like, screw that guy. But
exactly.
But it seems like people like him or whatever. But I think Jair Alexander is going to be back. So what's your take, Jair Alexander and Mr. Preston Smith?
Well, yeah. Again, the Preston thing, I don't even know what the question could possibly be, other than we don't need to play him corner, but I would like him to stay on the team. The Jair thing, it's funny because I had people send that to me, and I just thought it was like a cool message, and I was like, oh yeah, cool, man. Like, I didn't think anything of it until I saw somebody with the caption of "Is he leaving?" And then I had to go back and read it, and it's like I think there are some people who have been convinced for months that he's on his way out, and they've been saying that. I think he's gone. I think he's gone. So they read that and they saw it through that prism and they're like, oh, see, I think for most normal people, when you read that, you're just like, oh, that's nice. Like, that was a nice, like, yeah, it's the end. Cause we've all been doing that. I've been freaking crying on my podcast for like a week. Like, oh, the season's over. I appreciate you guys so much for hanging out with me, and please hang out with me in the off season. Like, don't leave me, man. We're going to have a good time. And it's like, that's just what you do. It's a sentimental thing. And I'm not even on the freaking team. But even beyond that, and like you said, the contract prohibitive, they can't trade him, with his contract. I don't understand what the thought process is. So, the game happened and then they met with the players the next day, and what, they're just like, hey man, I just want to meet with all the players. By the way, we're trading you. And, so see ya. And then he goes to social media and does that. And so the organization is aware of it. And again, they did it within 24 hours. I'm sure his teammates are aware of it, and yet nothing is leaked yet. Ian Rappaport and those guys don't know anything yet. Bull crap. I mean, they made a decision about Joe Barry, and Ian Rappaport scooped that, or Pelissero or whoever, in about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
There's no way in the world the Packers made a decision that they're not bringing back. They have to cut him from the team or try to trade him, which even if you're doing that, you're not going to tell him. You're not going to tell him you're trading him. You would trade him, and that's how he would find out. You wouldn't just be like, hey, by the way, you're not going to be back here one way or another, you piece of crap, so get out of here. And it's not like Jair's going to force his way off the team. Like, it's just I just wish people would explain, like, okay, I get like, you read that a certain kind of way. Explain this process to me. Like, how does this work in logistically, and we get to where we are. It's impossible. It's not going to happen. Jair does like being here. He loves being a Packer. If there was any issues with the DC, he's gone now. There was one issue that flared up. He got suspended. Everybody has said it was a good thing. We've all moved on. Jair has acknowledged that. You know, the coach has acknowledged that. Gutekunst has acknowledged that. He started playing better. Everything was great. He's on a young ascending team. He loves the quarterback. He loves his teammates. What are we talking about here? This is silly.
Yeah. And Packer fans and Instagram posts don't vibe. No. Packer players make them. And I don't even think Jair was trying. Like I was.
I don't think so maybe, either. I think he was just saying something and people lose their minds.
He just typed a thing. Yeah. But I want to give a shout over here. We got Antoine over here. Yeah. Beer Money. Cheers to a great off-season beginning. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I've never got money before. Here we go. We got another one. We got Wyatt. Now. How do you feel about the kicker we signed? I don't know a lot about the kicker we signed, but I will say this about the kicking position, because a lot of people are talking about this, is that I feel like in training camp, you're going to see a lot of people kicking balls. You're going to see there's going to be competition. I know that they just signed someone. I feel like there will be more come training camp. A lot of people are going to get cut, and there's going to be a lot of kickers. I don't know the kicking world, how many kickers. Like, people are like, that guy sucked. We should sign someone else. Like, what do you think? Like, there's just kickers out here, unemployed.
Yeah. Go get that one good guy that doesn't miss ever, like, especially in the playoffs.
I was like, where is that guy? But, like, I expect that there'll be a lot of kickers, kick balls over there at Clark Hinkle Field this training camp or, you know, throughout the offseason, and they're going to try out a lot of people. And we'll see, like, what happens. What do you think? You think that?
Yeah, I mean, that's been, you know, so I got the call-in show. Everybody's calling in. We got to get rid of that freaking kicker, et cetera, et cetera. People are mad, which I always thought was kind of weird, because of all the bad things that happened, that's pretty low on the totem pole. It's like that's 3 points, which doesn't get us a win. And then you got like 6 points that was dropped by Darnell Savage in the pick and all that stuff. But okay, I guess we'll just crap on the kicker exclusively here. But they're not going to get rid of him, but they will bring in competition. They do that like every year. I've been saying that the whole time. This was quick, but whatever. They're going to be bringing in, like you said, a lot of kickers. There's probably going to be at least three, and they're going to be kicking some balls, and then they'll whittle it down to two. One of those is going to be Anders Carlson, and then in the end, Anders Carlson's probably going to win the competition, because that competition is going to be rigged anyways. There's very little chance he's going to lose that job, and that's just how it's going to go. So if you want to know how this story plays out, sorry for the spoiler, that's probably how this is going to play out.
Yeah, I think that we're not going to know much. Training camp, they're going to have a bunch of kickers in there, and then we're going to find out who's best kicker. And, like, people show the stats, like Mason Crosby. You know, everyone loves Mason Crosby, bring him back.
His first year. Anders Carlson's first year.
It was worse. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the season, it kind of – that's when a lot of that bad kicks happened. That was unfortunate. But, like, they didn't lose. Like, I always say, you don't lose because of kickers. You don't lose because of referees. You lose because dropped interceptions. The other team catches the interceptions. I'm not blaming Darnell Savage on it, but just little things. Little things lost that game. Like, obviously, the kick was a big thing. You wish you would have made it. But, like, you lose. Like, they talk about the game is won and lost by inches. That's what they mean.
Yeah.
It's just little stuff, like offsides here, like a third down, you know, a missed tackle.
I was going to say, if they could have tackled on about half of those missed tackles, we probably win by double digits. I mean, I've never seen so many blatant missed tackles in my life.
Yeah, it's rough. It's like me trying to do a good job at work. Like, today I'm going to do a good job. And then I screw everything up, and then I'm like, all right, that's why I don't try.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You're always motivated, and then you forget how long time is, you know? Like, dude, today I'm going to just kill it at work. And then you're there for an hour, and it's like, bro, this sucks. Like, I'm not doing this anymore.
I always tell them, I'll give you about 4 good hours out of 8.
Yep.
You know, the first couple, I ain't do much.
4 good hours is a good work.
You know what I mean? Yeah. After break, you know, I'm not going to do much at the beginning of the day. After break, I'm going to give it my all. And then I go on break again. After that break, probably not gonna do that a lot.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I'm probably gonna shut it down a little bit.
I think that's but fair.
So let me ask you this: what does this team look like next season? We're gonna lose some people. I don't think that we have a lot of free. I mean, we have some free agents, but we don't have like we're not gonna lose like these big type of names or whatever. What do you think that this team looks like? Not even the players who are on it, but like you expect this team like like I do. I expect this team to be in the NFC Championship game next year. I expect him to beat the 49ers. I expect this team to like just do ridiculous things. It might be I'm just stupid and biased, but like I'm so pumped for next season. What are you thinking?
I think it's actually going to be a fun season. Even if it's just early on when there's a lot of talk that doesn't get backed up, because the Packers are going to get a lot of hype. The Lions are going to get a lot of hype. The Bears are probably going to have a brand spanking new quarterback that they're going to be excited about. And whether they're going to be good or not, doesn't matter. They got a new OC. They got Caleb Williams. They got the defense who's starting to get better down the stretch. They're going to be getting a ton of hype. We'll see what Minnesota does. I'm guessing they're probably going to be expected to be at the bottom. Whether they are or not is not, you know, doesn't really matter. But I think it's going to be exciting. I think there's going to be a lot of trash talk. And I think it's just going to be, it's going to be a fun offseason with the NFC North, because there's going to be so much talk. And I think people can actually back it up. And last year, remember, it was like the talk was all about like, well, at least I'm not the worst of the worst, because the NFC North was like the worst division in the entire NFL. And it's like, it's arguing over, no, you're definitely worse than us. That's for sure. Like I know we might suck, but we're not as bad as you. This is going to be more like, no, we're the top of this actually quite good division. So that's going to be a fun, it's going to be a fun outlook on things. And hopefully it actually lives up to that, because, you know, obviously after a couple of weeks, it might be that everybody kind of sucks a little bit. We'll see.
But like, yeah,
people never lives up to the hype.
People talk about this division, you know, like this division is trash, but you got the team in the NFC North that went to the championship game. You got a team that went to the divisional game. Should have beat.
John, you're an idiot. Shut up, John. Fourth in the North.
No, absolutely not. You know
that's
what I mean?
Dumb.
But we got Dag over here giving me a dude. Dag's paying my mortgage this week. You know what I mean?
What's up, Dag? Packernet podcast on YouTube. What's up, bro?
You know what I mean? I'm not sharing none of this money. But shout out to Dag. You are the absolute man. Dude. But people talked about the NFC North. You know, not a good division, but two teams are good. The other two teams are trash. We'll talk about that a lot throughout the offseason, about how bad the Vikings and Bears are going to be. But the Vikings, let's not get it twisted. The Vikings are an absolute trash organization, top to bottom. Right. It's not just a bad team. It's a trash organization. It's a bad franchise. It's just horribly trash. The Bears are in a spot because they suck every year that they're going to get a top draft pick, and we'll talk about that. They'll probably screw that thing up. But I want to talk about, because that's what everyone wants to talk about. No one tuned in for any of the stuff that we talked about previous to this, but I want to talk about that stuff because I didn't get a chance to talk about it yet. Yeah. But Joe Barry out as defensive coordinator, but they say he could remain on his staff. That's according to Adam Schefter. Matt LaFleur didn't say that, but I don't know what that would mean. I would assume that would mean like some consultant.
I think that's nothing line.
Yeah, maybe it means nothing at all. Maybe he's not. That's like my wife. You know, I'm like, I'm having a few beers, but tomorrow when I get up, I'll do the dishes. It might be like that. Like, we're giving this news, but like, he might still be here. But it might mean nothing. But either way, he's out as defensive coordinator. I think Packer fans are elated. They're celebrating. People are popping bottles over here on Twitter. people are asking me, like, because I'm so positive, like, oh, you can't say anything bad. Like, I'm happy. I didn't want him to be back next year. It doesn't mean like I don't thrive off people losing their job. He's gonna be all right. He's got a lot of money. They're gonna have a good time. He's gonna be good. But the Packers defense, sometimes you just need a change. Like, it wasn't like, even when they picked it up towards the playoffs, I felt like Matt LaFleur said in his press conference one week that he's gonna have his thumb on the defense, or he made some kind of phrase that like he's gonna do something. So I wonder if he went in there and like, hey, I have an idea. Let's rush the passer. You know what I mean? Like, let's not have Preston Smith cover Devontae Adams.
Looked at it and was like, no wonder we freaking suck. Joe, go give me some freaking coffee, will you? I got to fix this.
Yeah, go give me some coffee and bring me a chalk. Give me a chalk. I got this chalkboard here. You use this, don't you?
Did you draw nine guys out? You know we hit 11, right? What the hell are you doing? No,
I think it's good that he's gone, and if he does stick around, people are talking about like, well, maybe he'll be a linebackers coach. I think if he's around at all, they'll have him be like a consultant or whatever. He'll just be there. I don't know what he'll do, but like, they're just like, I like the guy. Let's keep him around. You know, yeah. We are actually, because like they owe him a year, right? So like, hey, we're paying him. You're not going nowhere, buddy. We got to pay you either way. So you're going to stay right here. You can just like, you can get, you know, are you good at writing? You can make post-it notes. But I think it's good. The search is on. People are asking me who they should be, the defensive coordinator. But before we get into all that, what do you think about Joe Barry moving on and all that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes the most sense. I don't think you can actually be serious about wanting to be a really strong football team and also say, I think it was good enough over the last 3 years. I mean, if that's good enough, then what are you actually trying to accomplish? Do you want to be great, or are you just like the Steelers? Let's try to get like a winning record, but kind of suck. Like if that's what you want, then you can stick with Joe Barry. But yeah, you're right. As soon as the coach says, I'm going to start going in that room and trying to help Joe Barry out, dude's not keeping his job. Like there's no way you keep your job after that one. So I think it was meant to be. I know a lot of people freaked out when he said that he thought the defense did a good job or whatever. But as I said on my podcast, like that doesn't mean anything. I mean, it's just people just say stuff. You know what I mean? Especially like, first of all, people are polite generally. And it's like, we just expect like absolute truth. In every situation, it's like, no, it's like guys just say stuff. Guys go to the podium. They know what the questions are. They're pissed off that you're attacking his friend and he's being nice about a situation. Like that's just a common courtesy. That is not him trying to secretly hint to you that he's going to, you know, keep Joe Barry on the staff. I mean, not everything's a secret encrypted message, you know, it's just people read too much into crap.
Yeah. And like you can't throw dudes under the bus. You can't come out there right. Like, bro, I cannot wait to fire this guy.
I freaking hate this guy. We used to be friends, and I can't even stand to look at his stupid face anymore.
Like, I'm not even gonna tell him. I'm gonna tell his wife to tell him. Like, no, he's not gonna come out here and trash him. Like, and sometimes it's not even like this time. It was. I think it was him. And I, you know, I'm not hating on, you know, I'm not trying to trash him, like bury him, but like it's like. You've seen the defense, like I was talking to a lady at work who doesn't watch football, right? Mm-hmm. And I said to her, I was like, you know, the pack, because I was excited because I saw it on my phone, but there was no one around that knew football, so I like,
talked to somebody.
I just got you, so that's like 65-year-old lady who's like 2 weeks from retirement. I'm like, the Packers fired the defense coordinator. She's like, is that good? I'm like, yeah. I was like, he was making. I was explaining to her. I was like it was like 3 or 4 weeks where like every quarterback they played was like the MVP, and like 2 weeks later he was cut, or not cut, but he was benched. And she's like, oh, and then she still couldn't figure it out. I'm like, hey, you know this guy over here, Mark? I was like, anytime someone worked next to him, they look really good, because no matter how bad your machine's running, his is always running worse. That's what it's like. He just makes everyone look so great. So that's how you break it down for people who don't watch a lot of football. But I'm glad he's gone. I don't get excited. Like I was saying, I don't celebrate people getting fired. It sucks. It's kind of like a weird thing. But in football world, they're going to be all right. They make a lot of money. He's going to be good. He's going to land somewhere, or he's going to stay on the Packers. But I think it's good for the Packer world. And so who do you think? I'm not like a guy who knows. Like, I know a lot of names, you know, defense coordinator-wise. I ask people on Twitter. I ask people on Facebook. But I'm going to ask you right now, Ryan. In your dreamland world, who do you want to be the defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers next season?
Well, if I had to guess, first of all, who I think they're going to hire, I'm leaning Marquand Manuel. He's the, I think, safeties coach for the Jets. I think he just checks a billion, like every box, whatever box you want a defensive coordinator to check, he pretty much checks it, including like, you know, being friends with Matt LaFleur, former defensive coordinator. He's young, ascending. He's on a really good defensive team right now. 49ers scheme is what he's working with. And he, you know, works under Saleh, who's Matt LaFleur's best friend. So it's just, there's every reason in the world. It just feels like that's going to be the thing. I really started talking myself a lot, although I don't mind Marquand Manuel. Started talking myself into some of these Ravens guys. There's a lot of really talented Ravens coaches. I don't remember which one. I don't know if it even matters which one, because I don't I can't differentiate, and that's the hard thing about this. It's like we try to make a science out of this, and there's no science. Most of this is like reputation, you know, like all the buzz that's going around. That's why you start seeing these ridiculous names. Like, who the hell is that? Like the outside linebackers coach for the Panthers? Like, how random is that? It's like, well, because you don't know his reputation, you don't know the work that he puts in, you don't know how he interacts with the players and all that stuff. There's so much that goes behind that. That's why I threw out the name Gerald Alexander today, and everyone's like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. It's like, I don't know, dude. All I know is he's got a real big reputation. He's like one of those young rising star guys. So I can't explain it either, but I just know that he's really popular out there. So, I mean, it's fun to do, but it's such a fool's errand because we don't have any of the information we need to be able to actually pick the right person. We all think we do, but we don't. So I like what the Ravens have done. I think they got a lot of talented former players. That's the other thing, Marquand Manuel, not only a former player, but a former Packer. So again, every single box. But I think the biggest thing that I want is I don't want the old retreads, you know, the old, you know, Washington coach and all that kind of stuff. He was a DC back when like Rodgers first became a quarterback. Like the NFL has moved on so far from the last time he was a defensive coordinator. I'm looking for like the 35-year-old guy that's been a coach for 3 years and everybody's trying to grab him because he's just a freaking genius. He's like the Sean McVay of defensive court, you know, or Kyle Shanahan or Matt LaFleur. Like he's one of those guys. Those are the guys that I want, not some guy that was successful 15 years ago and we're hoping he can like reignite that magic. I think that's nonsense. I think we've tried that now two different times, the last two defensive coordinators. And we just need to find someone that's really talented at being able to execute whatever scheme it is that we think is tip of the spear right now in the NFL.
Yeah. And like, first of all, you mentioned, was that Gerald Alexander?
Yes.
First of all, I don't know that name, but when you said that, I was like, I could be watching the History Channel tonight when I go to bed and they talk about former presidents. That's what that name sounds like. Yeah. Gerald Alexander was like, the 14th president.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know presidents. I don't keep track. Well,
but Gerald Ford and you know,
you know, Gerald Alexander.
Alexander somewhere.
Dude, I bet you there's a Gerald Alexander in American history that did some 100% great things.
100%. Or yeah. Horrible things.
I know, right? Oh, possibly that. Horrible things.
He was an evil human being. But and also president.
I don't know a lot about defense coordinators, but like I'll say this, because you said you don't want to retread. You don't want some old-timer. I'm a little weary about hiring like a someone who's like too new, like people talk about Al Harris, right?
Yeah.
And I love Al Harris, you know, we want the ball, we're gonna score, we all love that. And but I worry, like, first of all, I'm not the one to judge. They're not gonna have me, hey, we like him, bring Matt in, let's see who he's gonna join the interview here. Like I have no idea. So yeah. Like I just trust, but they cannot miss. They have to hit. Let's bring in a chat here. We got Wyatt over here with the super chat. What is up, Wyatt, bro?
Let's go.
I appreciate you. $4.99. Here we go. My first game at Lambeau Field was Pack versus Bears, Week 18. What was each of yours most memorable experience at Lambeau? All right, that's a good question right here. Have you ever been to Lambeau, Ryan? I don't think I've ever asked you this.
Yeah, a couple times. Not too many.
He's like, hey. Whoa, the disrespect.
Bro, I've been like three freaking times. You better calm down.
All right, so out of those three, what was your most memorable time at Lambeau Field?
So I went to the 0-16 game for the Lions. That was, you know, in Lambeau Field. And I don't remember a ton of it because I was completely blackout drunk for most of the game.
That's not most memorable then.
Well, it has to be because the other ones are not very memorable. But the cool thing, the best part about that, aside from the entire field chanting 0-16 and just being an awesome experience and everything else, was Donald Driver, who was a pretty soft-spoken guy or whatever. You didn't really see him do all that much. He was so jacked up at the end of that game. He's running up and down the field. And just as we're about to leave, we see him like start doing a lap and high-fiving people. So me and my buddy just beeline down there, and we got a high-five from Donald Driver in that game. There you go. That was the one.
Yeah, see, like I have a few. I remember going to a Broncos game with my guy, the Drew Cave. People might know on Instagram. He's on Facebook too.
Yeah. Yep.
He's got the big cave. Frank Tettletown was there. The Green Bay guy, my guy Ben, was there. Mm-hmm. Like, that was a fun game. Just a good group of guys, just being dudes. You know what I mean? Drinking a lot of alcohol, and I don't remember a lot from that game, but I know we had a good time for sure. And Frank Tettletown, his car almost got towed. I think he got a ticket. But anyways, but like honestly, like. One of my most memorable games, there's two of them really, because I went to Thursday Night Football with the Titans, and I went with like Prime, so I got to go on the field. Ooh. I would say that's my most memorable.
Yeah.
I was going to say another game, but I'll stick with this one. I'll stick to one. I got to go on the field. My son was there, and it was just so fun. We were treated like rock stars. Like even like the crew, they thought we were famous. Because like usually the people that they deal with that they bring to these things, like for different games, every Thursday Night Football, in every stadium, and they're like, you know, they assume we were famous. Like, no, we're not. We're like,
this must be Wisconsin royalty right here.
Yeah, we're people know us, a few people, but like we're not famous. Like no one cares. But like it was so cool to go on the field. Antonio Freeman gave a speech. We were in his room. Like beer was free a lot. We had a shuttle bus. We weren't in a suite. I've never been in a suite before, but like we were like up top and like behind the glass, and like it was just awesome. And it was really cool to have my son there, because like all the social media stuff that I do, to be able to give my son that experience, because he had so much fun. My son was hammered. You know, he's above age. He's above 21. He could be hammered, but it was like it was so cool. But and like a second one would be the Niners game, even though that the Packers lost. I was on row two in the end zone, and nice. It was just a straight up party the whole time. Like, it was so cold, but it wasn't even cold because I drank so much that cold didn't exist anymore.
Sure.
But and when that punt got blocked, it was right there, and I was just shocked because I thought I had, dude, in my mind that Niners game, there was no chance the Packers would lose that game. Yeah. I was so cocky. I wasn't like going around like Packers are gonna win, Packers are gonna win. But in my mind, I was like this party. It doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
Like it was all in my mind. But when that punt got blocked, when I was like, oh, this game sucks. I didn't know.
Wait a minute. I thought we were partying. Idea. What's going on over here?
Yeah, and then this Niners fan that I was kind of hanging with, I didn't know him, but he was like in a row in front of me, like three people over. We were high fiving during the game. We were drinking beers. We were cheers, and you know. Whatever, we're having a good time. I don't care what team you cheer for. I'll drink with you. And then after the game, some lady starts yelling because he was jumping up and down like, yay, yay. He was cheering, right? He was having a good time.
Yeah.
And then she's like, shut up. And she's like crying, like screaming at him, shut up. So then everyone else is like, yeah, I like that lady's vibe. Shut up. And then everyone started. And so I was like, yo, they're going to kill you, bro. And like, I'd never really seen Lambo be like that because most of the time people are pretty chill. And then I was like, hey, everyone, you know, he has the right to cheer. Like, calm down. Like, go leave him alone or whatever. And then I asked, because I actually had him on my podcast after that, because I got him out of the stadium. I was like, I'm going to get you out of here. You know, I was like, I was in hero mode. And then I had him on my podcast. And I was like, yeah, that lady was crazy. And he's like, oh, actually, I was with her. That was my friend. So
she started a riot.
She started because nobody was like coming at him before, but then when she started screaming, everyone's like, yeah, that's a good idea, let's kill that guy.
It's good to know. Don't ever do that in Lambeau. They're very nice, but it just takes one person to incite a riot and everybody's ready to go.
And it was his friend. He's like, no, that was my friend, she was just upset,
didn't know how like volatile almost Lambeau Field was.
Yeah, she almost got you murdered, bro, you know what I mean? But she almost got you murdered. But shout out to that lady. Or shout to him more than her. But all right. So going back to the defensive coordinator, this is the interesting one. I want to get to this comment right here. Steve Belichick, first of all, because I want to say this with all my heart. People talking about Bill Belichick being a defensive coordinator. Dude, that's like saying I'm better podcasting than Tom Grassi. That's not going to – it's never going to happen, bro. It's never going to happen. Bill Belichick is never going to be a defensive coordinator. He's never going to work for Matt LaFleur. This dude has – more rings than he's got fingers on one hand. All right, he's not gonna work. And I'm not, that's not a knack at Matt LaFleur, but like, it's Bill Belichick. He's gonna be a head coach, he's gonna control everything, or he's not gonna coach at all. But Steve Belichick, I seen his comment out and about. What do you think about that? Like, I'm not sure what Steve Belichick does over there besides be Bill Belichick's brother, but he could be a good coordinator. I just don't know about it.
I just know he's a big weird looking goofball. And
yes,
he creeps me out, and I just have a hard time believing like the team, the players are just going to be super jacked about like, you know, that guy. So I don't know, man. I maybe he's a super genius. Maybe I don't know. Maybe he's got some of that DNA from his dad and from his grandpa, but he just he's weird. I don't know.
That was my whole thing. I appreciate that comment, but that was my whole thing about the Belichick thing. It's only because the last name. Like, I'm not a big Patriots watching guy. Like, and even if any Patriots coach on the Patriots when Belichick was there and they're doing their thing, how do we even know if they're good? Because Bill Belichick runs everything. He's
a lot of times they weren't. They would leave, and like some of like Flores is good, but a lot of these guys they leave, and it's like, oh, you suck. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, it's like a wide receiver that leaves Aaron Rodgers, like Greg Jennings.
Yeah.
Like, he goes to the Vikings. You don't have a quarterback. And I'm not here to trash Greg Jennings. I've done that enough in my life. but like you, some guys, you just don't know. I have no idea. I'm not the good person to ask, like, what.
Yeah, maybe he's a genius. I don't know.
So what about this name, Ryan, since you know
Sean Desai? No, absolutely not. Sean Desai. So the Eagles were in the Super Bowl. What, last year, right? And then this year, I think their defensive coordinator got like a head coaching job. They give Sean Desai the defensive coordinator job. He was complete garbage for the Eagles. Like, that defense completely fell apart. They were awful, and he got fired. So that's not a great looking resume for me as far as guys that I'm looking for.
So do you think that defense coordinator wise, like, because I feel like a lot of head coaches, they hire guys that they know, right? The interview guys, and sometimes guys wow people, like, oh, this guy, he said some good stuff in this interview. But mostly it's guys they worked with, or guys that they worked with, but this guy worked with them. It's like a third generation.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know who Matt LaFleur, because that's people say, well, Joe Barry got the job because he used to work with him. Like, yeah, that's like how every coordinator gets a job. Because, like, they were assistants. Like, the whole, like, Mike Holmgren, everyone talks about that coaching tree. Yeah. There's all types of Andy Reid, you know, was part of that. And Andy Reid has his own coaching tree. It's all about coaching trees. You're not – most of the guys hire people because, like, they were assistants. They were scrubs for this team at one point. And then they got to know each other. Like, hey, if I make it, I'll hire you or whatever. Or they just respect each other. I'm like, all right, that guy's good. But, like, so do you think that there's any chance that Matt LaFleur hires a guy that just, like, out of the box – we never heard of this guy before?
Well, some people are like, I don't want anybody that's ever been near Matt LaFleur. And I think that's kind of silly because I'm sure he's worked with some great coaches. You know, it's silly to say. And like you said, he's worked with so many people. There's not a lot of people left. But I think it doesn't need to be Matt LaFleur. I think the organization as a whole needs to get its ear to the ground, find out what people are saying, find out who these guys are that are you know, taking over right now, that have got a great reputation, and get some interviews set up. It's not about guys Matt LaFleur likes. That's not what's important. It's not like, oh, he was really smart. I don't give a crap how smart he was. Like, I don't want it to just be a Matt LaFleur thing. Now, reputation, fine, because that's what it's all about. But just in his personal bubble, the problem is there's so many other people outside of his bubble that it's probably important that they branch out. So, I do want it to be like through the grapevine kind of thing, but not like specifically Matt LaFleur's inner bubble. I'm talking, you know, get the feelers out across the entire NFL and try to find out who those guys are.
Yeah, I just don't want it to be like, don't be too creative. Don't be trying to be slick and like, this guy, no one's even thinking about him. Well, there's probably a reason for that.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, we're going to know who they are because they're already getting interviews. That's the other, they're not a secret. You know, even if they are a secret, somebody knows it. Somebody's already called them. The lists are basically published already. Everybody knows who's getting the interviews. So all these, and that's why I dropped that guy's name, because I saw that he was interviewed and I'm like, who the heck is this guy? And then you look into him, you find out a little bit more about him. So even if the Packers didn't know who they were, they're going to find out because these guys are going to start getting phone calls.
Absolutely. So we talk about like Leonard is a name that everyone brings up. Obviously, he said he didn't want to coach. He didn't want to do it before. I don't know nothing. I'll just be real. I don't know anything. But do you think that he's even a possibility? Does he want to?
Yeah, I think he is. People put a lot of stock in, well, he already said no. Well, he said no because he loved Madison. He had strong ties to Madison. He really wanted to be, I think, the head coach there, and I think he was really hoping that he could be that. So he took serious interest in the Packers, and the Packers took serious interest in him. I was surprised that he even interviewed with the Packers because he was so determined to stay with the Badgers. But then he shot down the Packers to stay with the Badgers. Then the Badgers hired a new head coach who decided not to keep him on board. So now he doesn't have the Packers or the Badgers. So it's entirely possible now, if the Packers call, he's like, well, that's second best option. He's a Wisconsin guy. He might want to jump back on board. So if Matt LaFleur still has him really high on the list, it's absolutely a possibility that he could be the guy. Now, is he my favorite pick? Absolutely not. But if the Packers are still interested, I think it's possible he could be interested this time around, and it could be a very real thing.
Yeah. If they were interested before, they might be interested again. Right. Like I say, I don't know. Like, I'm not – that's why I have people on my podcast to talk about it. People always ask me, like, who should be the Packers' defensive coordinator? Like, I have no – when they hired Matt LaFleur, I Google him. I was like, all right, oh, you're from Tennessee, all right. And
I knew who he was because I had said on my podcast I don't want him. So that's how much I know.
I do like that they went for, like, with Matt LaFleur, like – the young guy, but I don't think I want them to go young with defensive coordinator, like, as far as, like, unknown. But, like, I'm not going to get mad if they do because, like, I don't know. Like, I don't think anyone knows. I didn't like the Mike McCarthy hire when they hired him for San Francisco. And, like, when Matt LaFleur was hired, people were like, well, that offense sucked over there.
And right. My whole thing is, like, he was under Sean McVay, so you couldn't really judge the offense because it was really Sean McVay's offense. Then he got a chance to run the offense in Tennessee. Well, Tennessee sucked, and Green Bay's like, we got him. Well, that's the dumbest thing ever. Like, but that's what I'm talking about as far as reputation. We look at it, and all I can see is Tennessee sucked, therefore he probably sucks. Green Bay knows how deep his reputation is, which we've learned over the years. Like, we didn't know about his ties to, like, Shanahan and, like, that group and how they were, like, seen as these little secret geniuses and – you know, like the guy in Miami, we didn't learn about him until, you know, a couple of years later, but he was out there and everybody knew about him and all this stuff. These are the deep reputations that people know for a long time. You know, he was on everybody's radar probably going back years, and we barely know the guy except for all I look at is, like, where he ranked in points, you know, points four on offense, Titans. Okay, I wrote him off because of one stat. I mean, what we do is really stupid in comparison. And now that we look at it, it's like, okay, now that I get the full story and now that I see what he can do, like, okay, now I get it. He's a super genius. I didn't know that. But that's what I'm saying with defense. And that's why it's also, you know, a lot of people are hung up on, well, if he doesn't have defensive coordinator experience, then I don't want him because he doesn't know how to do anything. It's like, well, Matt LaFleur never had head coaching experience, and neither did Mike McCarthy. Neither do a lot. You know, everybody has their first crack at things. And the bottom line is, if there's a guy out there who's a really, really elite defensive coordinator, then how would we get him unless it's his first gig? If he's getting fired, why'd he get fired? He must not be very good. Right? So, you know, I just, everybody's got to get their first crack somewhere. Every elite defensive coordinator had their first job. So either get that guy or get somebody who failed and hope that this time he doesn't fail.
Yeah.
Those are your options.
That's exactly it. And, like, I think sometimes, like, there's so much that goes into it. Like when they have the interviews for defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, head coach, whatever it is, it's like they go in the interview, they ask the questions, what kind of scheme you want to run, what kind of things. So, like, they learn. There's not interviews like when you go to apply at the cheese factory where I work. You know, I applied to cheese. My interview was, like, 20 minutes. You're like, right. Hey, you know how to flip cheese, bro, like that. You know what I mean? Like, you ever flip the pack of string cheese? It's not like that. They're like, what kind of scheme? All right. Now, if an offense is doing this and if defense is doing that, whatever, what would you do in this situation? Whatever, whatever. They ask them a million different questions, a million different ways. So then they kind of get, like, a feel for it. And I think a lot of times, too, is, like, if you're a defensive coordinator, sometimes, like, you're really good at linebackers, right? But now you got a guy like Rashawn Gary. All right, and you have the guy like Preston Smith, like you have like these key linebackers, like, oh, I can make special things out of these guys. But sometimes, like, hey, I'm really good at corners, I'm really good at coverage, whatever. I feel like that there's specialties that guys have, and if you have certain players at certain positions, like, you can really be better. But, like, if you're a great defensive coordinator and you go into a team that they have no players, like, yeah, I have a good scheme, but your players suck.
Right.
So like, I can't do nothing with that. I feel like the Packers have a good defensive players. I feel like they're set. So just don't miss. I'm not the guy to tell you who to hire. Like, I'm not the guy.
Right.
But I'm telling you, Matt LaFleur, Goody, Mark Murphy, I'm sure you're going to have some other people involved hiring the process. Just don't screw it up, bro. Well,
and I think they largely probably have about pick of the litter. I mean, there's not too many better gigs out there. I think Matt LaFleur, you know, he's got that offense on lockdown. You got the youngest, one of the more young, promising teams, maybe aside from the Texans in the entire NFL. You got the quarterback. You got defensive pieces. You got a good GM, a good stable organization, not some crazy owner that's going to like decide to make draft picks. And then when the draft pick doesn't work out, he's going to blame the coaching staff and fire everybody because he's a raving psychopath or an alcoholic or whatever other kind of nonsense owners are out there. Like, it's a good job to have. So, I think for the most part, I mean, obviously a couple jobs have been locked up already. It looks like Fangio's going to the Eagles, but for this massive pool of guys, and I bet a lot of those guys would be good DCs, I think the Packers are going to have the ability to pick one. But like you said, just don't miss. Just find out who it is, offer him a job, offer him whatever amount of money he's worth, and just lock it up.
Exactly. I want to get to one last comment because, bro, Viking fans, bro, they're entertainment. Free entertainment. Is this the one? All right, let's get this one. He said,
I saw I was getting hostile over there. I just kind of kept peeking. I was like, what's going on? Why is everybody yelling at each other?
He said, Green Bay only made the playoffs because of the Kirk Cousins injury. You are terrible and love has peaked. You'll see next year. First of all, we won't see next year. We won't see next year because Kirk Cousins doesn't want to be a Viking no more.
Kirk Cousins, isn't that the Broncos quarterback? Isn't that who he is?
Yeah. Dude, Kirk Cousins is gone, bro. The Vikings are trash. He's talking about other teams. All right, I think what he meant is
Russell Wilson, who's going to be his next trash quarterback.
Yeah, and first of all, he said, "What do you say? Jordan Love has peaked. He peaked in it, like Ryan just said here. He peaked in his first year starting. Jordan Love is better than any quarterback the Vikings have ever had, except for that one guy who brought him to the Super Bowl and lost all of them. That guy was pretty good, Tarkenton. He's a Hall of Famer." Dude, Viking fans are so hilarious to me, bro. They suck since forever, and they're full of excuses. The Packers lost to the 49ers 5 times in a row in the playoffs. You know how many times they make excuses for it? Probably 2. Probably twice. This game I didn't make no. I don't make excuses. I don't make excuses. Viking fans, dude, they're just like. They just pull them. They got them. Like they search their pockets. All right, here's one. I got another one. Oh, my quarterback got hurt. Oh, the flag. Even when the Vikings win a playoff game, they call it a freaking miracle, bro. So, it's a Minneapolis miracle. They won a game. Dude, the Vikings are such trash, bro. Their fans are just full of excuses. Well,
it's funny that, I mean, I know you go back and forth with Vikings fans. Like, I never... That never happens because they always seem so chill to me, and it makes sense because it's like, what do they have to talk about? Like, there's nothing going on. I haven't even thought about the Vikings since forever. Like, we played them that one game and beat them, but they were I thought Vikings fans gave up like week 9.
Dude, they go home, bro.
Yeah, like your Flores' defense started to fall apart, and it's like, okay, well, we don't have a quarterback, we don't have a defense, we don't have a team anymore. This whole thing with us even having an elite GM, I guess maybe that's not going to pan out the way that we thought it was. So I thought they all just kind of gave up. Like, well, this sucks. I guess we'll just sit around and wait for the Packers to lose so we can have a glimmer of excitement in our lives. But no, I guess some of them are out there actually talking.
Yeah, that's
Kirk Cousins owns Green Bay. Since when?
Dude. This is great. I'll give you a little bit.
Well, I mean, he's talking about Kirk Cousins, which is hilarious. He's not really talking about the Vikings. He's talking about Kirk Cousins, which, I mean, Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback, which sucks that you guys aren't going to be able to keep him.
He's gone. He's leaving. He's not interested. He traveled that path. You ever drive down an old dirt road in Wisconsin and it's full of potholes and it's all messes up your alignment? You know what you do? You don't drive down that road anymore, bro. Yeah, you
Kirk find Cousins is Kirk Cousins is broken. He's not coming back. And what's crazy is Kirk Cousins was really good. And you know what? You also have a really good wide receiver. You've had a lot of good things and you've never done anything with it. So it's all downhill from here, because if you couldn't get it done with Kirk Cousins, you're sure as hell not getting it done with whoever else is coming in here next year. So, Kirk Cousins was good, and he won a couple games against the Packers once in a while, not usually, but a couple times. So, cool, I guess. I guess that's supposed to hurt my feelings.
Yeah, it did. let's just break it down, and then we're gonna wrap this thing up. We'll let you go back to your life right here. But like the Vikings, it's not looking good for you, bro.
No, it sucks right now.
The Lions won the division. They're in the NFC Championship game. We'll see what happens there. Packers are on the rise. They're going to win the division next year. The Bears suck, but they got the number one pick. They got like the number
whatever. Yeah, they're going to have a quarterback. They're going to have an offensive coordinator. They're going to be talking.
Yeah, they're going to do some stuff. So really, you're fighting for third place, bro. And you're probably going to get in fourth place. The Vikings, dude, they're on the toilet.
I can't, like every other team, it's easy. Well, two teams are already on track to be whatever, right? The Bears, you can see the path. Like, draft Caleb. Caleb's really good. Good offensive coordinator. The defense stays good. Like, oh, I guess they're good now. Vikings, I don't know what you do. I don't think you're getting a quarterback this year. You're not drafting up high enough to really get any of the ones that matter, I don't think. There's three of them that are going to be gone probably in the top five. So you're going to bring in a free agent? Like, I cannot believe, and it's probably not going to happen, but I can't believe Russell Wilson is actually being talked about to be the Viking. Like, that just... That shows you how bad things are right now. And the peak of the hope for the Vikings was Flores. Like, bro, he's going to make things so good. And then, like, you know, the offense, we got our receiver, I guess. The offensive line's looking better. Like, you can kind of maybe see a path, even though the quarterback thing's kind of looking problematic. And then that fell apart, and it's just like, I don't know what's left. Like, I don't see a path right now. I'm sure eventually we'll find it, but you guys are so far off the path, it's kind of bad.
You know how bad the Viking situation is? You should feel fortunate that we even discussed it.
I haven't thought about the Vikings in so long.
They're so trash. Nobody cares. Only reason is you commented on it. I've had a few beers, and I really, when I saw it, I was like, oh, I'm going to clip that. I'm going to say some stuff. I'm going to clip it on social media. The Vikings are trash. They are an absolute joke. The Lions might win a Super Bowl before the Vikings do. They're definitely in a better situation.
That's true. They're a couple of games away.
The Vikings are absolute joke of a franchise, and Kirk Cousins doesn't want to be there. Kirk Cousins is like Mr. McAllister in Home Alone. He's just like, get me out of here. I don't know if that was like, I don't know if that's a really good analogy. But anyway, everyone, check out the Packernet podcast. We got Ryan Slip over here. Fantastic podcast every week or every day. They got someone shooting on a podcast, and they're all better than the one you just listened to or the one you just watched. But so be sure to check out that. Big shout out to Quick Trip, sponsoring the Matt Ramage Show, and also Nick Laylaw sponsored me, and we're doing some good stuff with Nick Laylaw. You know, don't call Saul, call Nick Laylaw. I'm gonna try to. That's good, right, Ryan?
No, yeah, you nailed it. That's it.
I think I did. I'm gonna put that on his shirt. You know what I mean?
He said you're gonna sell Nick Laylaw shirts. Make money off of merch from their stuff.
You know, I was thinking about it because I was driving down the road and I saw a Nick Laylaw billboard. I was gonna take a picture of it, you know, be like, oh, look at Nick Laylaw. But then I almost like killed a lady, you know, riding a bike, and I was like, Nick Laylaw,
you know.
I was like, that'd be my luck. Nick Laylaw sponsors me. I'm trying to take a picture while I'm driving Nick Laylaw billboard. I run someone over. They call Nick Laylaw. They sue me. And I end up giving all the money back plus some because, you know, they're good at their job. So I figured I just won't take the picture. I just. All right. Go Pack, go, people. We got a long offseason here. We'll see who the defensive coordinator is. That is Ryan Schlipp from the Packernet Podcast. Greatest podcast in the land. Be sure to check it out if you're not already. And we are out of here. Go Pack, go. Packers are about to come back, dominate the North. The Vikings are a trash franchise, and the Bears still suck. You know what I mean? And the Lions, we'll see what happens. I don't want to talk about the Lions anymore. I don't.